The last word on Today FM with Matt Cooper.
John Cadell, D Ready are with us for our weekly music spot. And John, I think I see in the UK they're talking up the possibility of music festivals returning to normal after Easter. And I think this is something that potentially we could look forward to the likes of the Electric Picnic and various other gigs next summer if people are getting vaccinated.
Well, there's a couple of problems I have with this, Matt. First of all, it's coming from Matt Hancock.
Leave aside your prejudice.
No,
against
it's just
the British Health Minister.
Let's not be coy. The UK haven't exactly covered themselves in glory when it comes to their COVID issues that are in place. But yeah, Matt Hancock says the UK could return to normal after Easter if people get vaccinated. Now, it's wishful thinking, I think. I don't see how the way things are at the moment. Yeah, we have a vaccine hopefully on the way.
One of three.
Yeah, you're asking people to, first of all, get vaccinated, many of whom may want a vaccine but may be a bit churlish about, you know, guinea pigging. So they might not like the
you're
first
You're talking for
wave.
Yourself here now,
no,
John, are you?
No, not at all. But, you know, I would have absolutely no issue with vaccinations. But having said that, I'm not sure if people will be nervous about the first iteration of the vaccine.
It's interesting, D. Reddy, though, that I saw, yes, I referred to it on air yesterday, and there's been further clarification since. Ticketmaster in the United States were looking at the possibility of requiring people to provide a vaccination certificate before they could buy tickets to go to concerts or major sporting events. They've rolled back a little bit on that, saying it's still under consideration, but it would be more for the event organisers rather than for Ticketmaster. But it does actually raise the issue that it could be for festivals and concerts to get insurance to actually run it, that the organisers might say you can only have a ticket if you can prove that you've had a vaccine, which would be a very significant civil liberties issue.
It would and it wouldn't, Matt. I mean, I think at the end of the day, when you go to any gig like that, you know, sometimes you agree to hand over your phone. You agree to certain security regulations when you're there in a venue. And you kind of understand that that's part and parcel of being at a mass event with a lot of people at it. It's as much to keep you safe as it is to keep everyone else safe. Like, I do think it's interesting that Michael Eavis had, before the vaccine even came out, he'd been kind of optimistically talking about Glastonbury going ahead next year with massive testing arrangements. So that's not necessarily people having a vaccine, but actually people agreeing to be tested for the virus as well. So with that and a vaccine system in place, it does seem like there is very good reason to be hopeful to go back to it. But then at the same time, I'm kind of thinking back over festivals that I've been at. I wonder, will people come out of this year a bit more aware of things like basic hygiene, of close proximity to other people? I think you're probably going to see two types of people: the people who can't wait to get vaccinated and lick each other's faces, and then the types of people who will be very, very nervous of just being in big crowds. And I think it's going to take a while before people find their comfort level with really, really big events like this.
It is interesting. And John, the other thing that struck me is that an awful lot of the events that they weren't cancelled from last summer, they were postponed
yeah.
Moved
mm.
into next year.
Yeah.
And I'm already starting to hear advertising on this station and see it elsewhere for various gigs and stuff that have been rearranged for next year. Mm-hmm. Get your extra tickets if you have, because they might not have sold out. And new ones now also have been proposed as well, which shows a degree of confidence perhaps on the part of the venues and on the promoters and of the acts themselves. And that then would presumably have a knock-on effect as well for all of those artists who have struggled for an income in recent years, and the roadies and the equipment suppliers and all the rest of it.
Yeah, I mean, let's make no bones about it. If things do get back to normal next year, it's going to be the best year ever for gigs. And people, as somebody said earlier, people are just dying to get to a gig and just to let go. But even like, I don't know about
dying,
you,
may be the wrong word in the COVID-19 experience.
Figure of speech, of course. But I don't know about you guys, but like, if you're watching something on the telly and you see something from a couple of years back, people shaking hands, I go, oh, what are they? They're shaking hands. It's going to take a while for people to sort of get back to sort of, as Dee said, the normalcy of being around other people and it being okay to sort of knock shoulders against somebody even. You know, it will take us a while to sort of reset our minds towards being in big crowds.
Dee, this listener wants to know, what gig were you ever at where you agreed to hand over your phone?
I've been to comedy gigs where,
yeah, Chris
where
Rock.
I have done.
Yeah, Chris Rock in the Three Arena,
yeah,
wasn't
and
it?
Jack White, I think, orders the same thing, yeah.
But I mean, look, my point is, it's not about phones. It's that when you go to a mass event like that, you do agree to abide by the rules. And if the rule is that you have to have a vaccine cert, then I personally don't see it as a civil liberty issue. Yeah, I'm very much of the vaccinate me and I can lick people's faces school of thought.
Yeah, and at the moment, you agree to be patted down when you go to at least, you know, certainly the Three Arenas. So, yeah, it is a case of, you know, there are certain things that are understood when you're going to live gigs.
Listener says, there's a difference between handing over your phone at a concert and injecting yourself with an early stage vaccine to view a concert. I don't think you'd be injecting yourself, but I know the point you actually make. Okay, let's get a bit of music. Let's start our music tonight with another Miley Cyrus track. She's doing loads of duets. We love playing them nearly every week at this stage. It's Dua Lipa she's teamed up with now for Prisoner. Two of the best acts around at present. What, when you put the two of them together?
I think it's great, Matt. Like, without question, between Dua Lipa and Future Nostalgia coming out in March and all of the stuff, as you said, that we've been covering from Miley Cyrus of late, these are two women who have essentially owned music in 2020. And it's brilliant to hear them together. This song, for me, it's one that, like, I feel like I've heard it already. But at the same time, I'm really curious to hear more because it just it really nails that sort of like 80s rock, which we're used at this age to hearing from Miley, but we're really not used to hearing Dua Lipa do this style of music at all.
It's funny you mentioned, Dee, that you heard it before, because Ian Dempsey and Shauna played a clip of it on Friday morning on The Breakfast Show. And Ian said, "It's Gloria by Laura Branigan."
Oh,
and
it is
Gloria
is.
By Laura
right.
Branigan. Yeah,
that's it.
Yeah.
Wisdom and experience from
telling you can't buy that.
Okay, tell us about the new Bruce Springsteen music, John.
I'd like to, but I don't understand most of the press release on it. This is some lad from a band called Bleachers, Jack Antonoff. I know his name from somewhere. Wasn't he going out with one of the girls from that show, Girls? I think he was. But anyway, I'm just looking for it here. And he's trying to describe what the lyrics are all about.
This is a new song called Chinatown.
Yeah, and I can't make head nor tail of what he's trying to say it's about. I'm looking for it even here, and I can't even find
it. It starts
page.
In New York City, travels to New Jersey. That pull back to the place I'm from, mixed with terror of falling in love again.
Yeah.
Having to show your cards to someone and the shock when you see them for yourself. Thinking you know yourself from where you are from. Having to see yourself through somebody who you want
to
stay.
Bored. I'm bored already. I don't want to listen to it. Like, it's already too much work.
Let's hear. What's ID?
The press release is very different to the song, John.
Yeah, but like, if the
you
press
don't
release,
sing the press release, John.
No, but if the press release makes you want to listen to the song, or if it's promoting the song, it's doing a
but
very
Matt,
bad job.
Performance of it there is.
Have you got a clip of it, Matt?
Yeah, we have. Come on, let's hear the music.
Yeah.
about the press release. I'm interested in hearing that.
Yeah, it's all right, actually. Yeah, a bit of the Roy Bittan keyboards there. Yeah, I like that. I can hear Bruce in the backing vocals too.
A listener in relation to Miley Cyrus and Dua Lipa has another suggestion as far as Gloria, and this is a very good one, Maneater by Hall & Oates.
Yeah, and didn't she cover, didn't
she
Miley
did.
Cyrus
she
cover
that earlier
Maneater?
In the summer.
Yeah.
I tell you, it's all full circle, but I maintain that Miley Cyrus is the saviour of rock music in 2020. I'm telling you, and this album's out on Friday now, and I, for one, am looking forward to it far more than I probably should be.
And Billy Idol and Joan Jett have been announced on the track list as well. She's done collaborations with them as well as Dua Lipa.
Quality.
And what about Green Day's Billy Joe Armstrong releasing a new covers album, John?
Yeah, he's been doing No Fun Mondays all through lockdown, where he does a cover of a song every other week, and it's
grand. Well, you sound unimpressed.
Ah, like, you know, go and write another American Idiot. Go and write another Dookie. Don't be coming out with half-arsed Green Day albums and covers.
Oh, well, let's hear one bit before we go to D. He's covered the Kim Wilde classic Kids in America.
Looking out a dirty old window, down below the cars in the city go rushing by. I sit here alone and I wonder why. Friday night and everyone's moving, I can feel the heat and it's soothing heading down. I search for the beat in this downtown.
That has to be Kim Wilde. There's no point in covering that. It has to be Kim Wilde.
That's what
I'm
saying.
It actually sounds more like the Muffs version that was on the Clueless soundtrack.
The Muppets?
The Muffs.
The Muffs.
Well, actually, let's hear him do another cover. This is a cover of Tiffany's. I think we're alone now.
It's not Tiffany. It's Tommy James and the Shondells, Matt. Jesus.
I'm with you now, John. I mean, there's no point to those covers.
None.
I mean, at least Miley Cyrus's covers have put a new energy and a real interest into the song she covered. Although that Miley Dua song, two people have come in, different numbers, with the same suggestion. Olivia Newton-John's Physical.
Yeah, actually. Well, there you go. It's physical. Gloria,
and another listener,
Gloria.
John in Cork, says, thinks that Bruce Springsteen is lending a hand to a fellow New Jersey band.
I think he probably is, but it sounds like a song that Bruce would have pegged out.
Okay, here's some new Sam Smith music.
Yeah, I see you looking for a sign, praying for a beacon. So here's the light. My arms will be wide open for the moment you arrive. When you set sail on your journey and happiness is far away, love will guide you till the morning, lead your heart down to the bay. Don't resist the rain and storm, I'll never leave you lost at sea. I will be your...
Okay, that's Sam Smith, the Lighthouse Keeper. What do you make of what they've done there?
They've a lovely voice, but can they not go over 80 BPMs? Like, I don't think there's ever been a Sam Smith song.
Speed it up.
That even has four to the floor beat.
Like, we should do that. We'll play his songs of 78 instead of 45.
They're very sad individual.
Christmas love song. It's kind of the ilk of Smith and Burroughs.
It's not. It's the ilk of Christa Borg.
Ass.
It is.
I've also had a message about looking after Jack Antonoff in New Jersey. He's one of the most prolific pop songwriters of the last 10 years. He's written for Taylor Swift, Lana Del Rey, Lorde, and the Dixie Chicks. Picks of the week. We better get to those. What's yours, Dee?
My pick of the week this week is from Irish hip hop. Irish hip hop act called J Yellow Elves. It's from the debut album 2020 Division, and the song is Oh Lord, it's gorgeous. We are on Armoredo, can tell the stairwell is heavily lodged. Have to be careful, cause if I settle, I'll never leave Mars. That's what the devil with my benevolent heavenly scars. And what you're telling me, dog, they can't contend with these bars. They hit the pen and get hedged, I hit my pen and recharge. Come at the pen and get lame, I hit my penalties hard. Got in Penelope's head, now I'm in Penelope's yard. Hola, hola, guess I'll never meet God. I've tried to stay away from them, they've been compelling me hard. I saw Melanie roast the men, now I'm with Melanie Mart. I get to hit with some head, and that's why I'm mentally scarred. Entering my next chapter while I'm out. Okay, right, not bad. What's your pick of the week, John?
Mine is equally as contemporary, Matt. It's a reissue of Keith Richards and the Expensive Winos. Now, this is a band that Keith put together back in 1988 to tour his Talk Is Cheap album when the looked like the Stones had utterly split up. It's been reissued on vinyl. It's 13 or 14 tracks, some Stones tracks, a lot of his solo stuff, and it's lovely. See it here.
And the track we have?
I think we're going to play Time Is On My Side.
Let's play out with that track.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper. Listen live, on air, from 4:30 weekdays on Today FM.